Shalom, Heverim. Baruch haba l'chol mekshevim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, what is this subtle something, this incalculable influence, this pernicious poison that pervades human history, both individual and collective, and leaves so much of it stinking in our nostrils? What is this prevailing power that assails our aspirations, wilts and withers our worthiest wishes, fractures our fondest fraternities, manacles our mightiest maneuvers, and finally drapes mankind in the gloomy garniture of the graveyard? Why are such words as disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement, discontent, depression, despondency, despair, doubt, darkness, death? Why, I ask, are such words in our dictionary and in the history of us all? What is the malignant malady that manifests such mastery over man that the currency of his experiences forces him to mint such words that he may trade his sorrows for his fellow's sighs and retire still to his own soul's solitude, an enigma to himself? There is something fundamentally, basically wrong with us. What is it? Where shall we go for the answer? In my judgment, there is only one source of reliable and authoritative enlightenment: our Jewish holy scriptures. I feel I can accept no other authority upon a subject that concerns me so urgently. I must set aside even the most conscientious human opinion, even the most revered human tradition. Only God's own inspired revelation will satisfy my longing for an answer to the enigma of myself. I am, of course, aware of modern attitudes to our Bible, but there are those of us who feel that there is a basic deficiency in the integrity, scholarship, and attitude of the modern, popular, evolutionary, critical approach to these Jewish scriptures. With no forfeiture of genuine scholarship, we feel obliged to reject these subtle modern hypotheses in favor of the equally scholastic belief in the divine inspiration of our ancient Jewish writings. To these sacred pages, then, we turn, and we find the answer in one sinister word: sin. Sin is the melancholy malady that malforms mankind. What then is sin? Well, anyway, sin is an English word, and I prefer to introduce you to the original Hebrew words in order that our understanding may be complete. After all, words are very fascinating, are they not? Have you ever stood in a big department store and made a purchase? See how the attendant places your money, together with a sales docket, in a little overhead receptacle, and then, pulling a lever, speeds the receptacle and its contents along an overhead wire to a central reception office, where another official opens the container, adjusts the purchase, and speeds the receipt and your change back to you by the same method. Now, words are something like that. They are receptacles in which we place our thoughts and intentions and speed them to the selected recipient. How important, then, that our word receptacle should exactly contain that impression which we desire to speed from our mind to another mind. How wonderful, however, when we imagine the eternal God himself selecting his word receptacles and speeding them on their way to our human minds that we may clearly understand his thoughts and attitudes. That is why I have made a personal research of no less than 61 Hebrew and Chaldee words employed in our inspired scriptures on this very question, what is sin? Since it would be impractical for me to recite the whole 61 words here, let me say that I have found they can be reduced to English thought by the following English words: astray, crooked, rebellious, ungodly, incurable, wicked, guilty, wrong. Now, that's not a very pleasant vocabulary, is it? All these ugly ideas are enfolded within the meaning of the English word sin. The most prominent Hebrew words to denote sin are pesha, connoting rebellion or transgression, avon, implying crookedness, distortion, or perversion. But the Hebrew word chet is perhaps the most eloquent. Please be sure not to confuse this Hebrew word chet with the English word hate. It is interesting that they are similar in sound, but their respective meanings are quite different. The Hebrew word chet primarily connotes a falling short, a missing the mark. Rabbi Philip S. Bernstein correctly epitomizes sin in the following words. In its Hebrew origin, the most commonly used word for sin actually means missing the mark. Rabbi Bernstein certainly has not missed the mark in the accuracy of his definition. In the longer Jewish confession of sin, these three major Hebrew words occur in the touching formulary Shetislach lanu al kol chatotenu, Vatimchal lanu al kol avonotenu, Utechaper lanu al kol pesharenu. May it then be thy will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, to forgive us for all our sins, to pardon us for all our iniquities, and to grant us remission for all our transgressions. If our Mishnah is reliable, these three Hebrew words were the very ones employed in our ancient temple recital. Yes, indeed, we all miss the mark. For my own part, I have frequently defined this missing the mark in terms of archery. We draw the bow to speed our arrow towards the target. We aim to embed it firmly in the mark. But the arrow of our effort or intention falls short of the target. It misses the mark. It even misses the mark of our own self-desired and self-imposed standard. This is a sad and unfortunate state of affairs, but it becomes a positively perilous situation when we realize that the target at which we must aim the arrow of our conduct and condition is not the target of human moral and spiritual standards. Oh no, the real target is not of human design. The real target is the standard set by God's own personal attributes and qualities. Be ye holy, for I, the Eternal, your God, am holy. Yes, the divinely required standard is absolute. It must be absolute, for an absolutely holy and righteous God could fix no lower standard than an absolute one. We are all to be holy, exactly like God himself is holy. But, we wretched human beings cry, that standard is too high. We cannot attain to it. That target is too far away. It is out of our range. The strongest of us can never strike it, even with the arrows of our best efforts and intentions. Surely that cannot be the standard God demands of us. But, my dear friends, think for a moment. Can God demand a lesser standard? If he did, don't we realize that he would fall below our human standards? Why, even our human laws don't say, thou shalt not steal much, or thou shalt not murder, much. You know, the lady motorist had no success with a police officer when she was caught making a prohibited left turn and tried to excuse herself by saying, "Yes, officer, I admit I did make a left turn, but it was such a teeny-weeny little left turn." No, God's standard must be absolute, or it wouldn't be a standard at all. And we, human beings, all fall short of it. We miss the mark. We do not hit the target. Even the greatest Jewish saints have missed the mark. Our great teacher, Moses, not even accepted. I quote Rabbi Philip S. Bernstein again, when he says, "Even Moses was denied admittance to the promised land because he disobeyed God." Let me also quote to you our great Jewish writer, Ahad Ha'am, on this sad theme, where he writes not only of Moses, but of humanity generally. Here are his words. "Even Moses died in his sin, like all mankind." That is the end of the quote. Now, missing the mark is a very serious business. Serious for us, and serious, too, for God. That is why the book of Leviticus is so important, for it shows how God has solved the problem. Please grant me the privilege of your company in my next message, and we will continue to explore together this vitally important and enlightening theme. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom. Amen.